How many are you excited for what God's going to do in this new year in your life? I want you to look at your neighbor for a second and say, you get your year started off right. You're in church on the first Sunday of the year. Tell them, say, look at you. Looking all good and devoted and faithful. Hey, why don't you welcome about 7 people to church today? Give them a good high five, a handshake, a hug. Introduce yourself. Come on, take it just a minute. Take a minute. 7 people, 7 people, not 2, not 1, 7 people. How many are excited for the new year? How many of you started going to the gym this year already? You started a new resolution? How many said you're going to start reading your Bible every day? Come on. Be honest. Be honest. How many say you're going to put your phone down a little bit more? You're going to have less screen time? How many made some other resolution? You gonna stop yelling, stop cussing maybe? Come on. I see how some of y'all drive. I need forgiveness too, because I'm one of those drivers where if you can't drive, you better get out the way. The right lane is the slow lane. Get over. As one guy said it online, the left lane's for those who got ticket money. So get out the way. We got ticket money. We trying to get where we trying to go. Amen. We got kids screaming in the car, whatever it is. We trying to get home. Amen. As we start this new year, I wanted to kind of talk in light of all of that. And many of us are starting, you know, New Year's resolutions, and it's a new season, a new year. We're like new year, new me kind of thing. And we're stepping into some stuff. But I know that when you step into a new year and you start some New Year's resolutions, you make a decision. If you think back to probably last year when you said, I'm gonna do it, there was something that might not have happened, and it becomes this festering feeling on the inside of this, I wanted to change and I didn't change. You see, there are fewer things in life that are more frustrating than knowing that you need to change, you're wanting to change, you're trying to change, and you still end up right where you started. Let me ask the question, how many of you are starting the same New Year's resolution you did last year and you didn't get it and you're trying it again this year? Be honest, be honest. Some of us are lying in church, that's all I gotta say. Some of y'all need to start a New Year's resolution, I'm gonna not lie anymore in church. But let me tell you today, if you feel frustrated, because I don't know about you, but I can get frustrated when I don't do what I want to do. If you feel exhausted, if you feel tired because you've tried to change, you thought you could change, you feel embarrassed, maybe you feel even ashamed, I want you to know today, you are not alone. That we all face things in life where we have this desire to better ourselves, but there comes a point where the truth is, if we're not doing it in the right manner, change will not happen. And that's what I want to talk about today. The Apostle Paul speaks of this idea in Romans chapter 7, but it isn't written. This chapter is not written on some mountaintop experience. It's actually written in the middle of a battle, in the middle of a fight. And Paul puts words to what so many of us are feeling even today. So if you have your Bible, turn me to Romans chapter 7. Amen. Getting this year started right. Romans chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 15. We're going to read through verse 25 today. It says this. It says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Some of you are like, hey, you've been reading my Instagram post? This is the Apostle Paul talking. Okay? You got to understand this. I don't really understand myself, he said, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. That's a good statement right there. To understand the fact that when I know that what I'm doing is wrong, what I am saying to myself and to everybody else is that the law is good. The truth is, the law is good. It's just I got to come to the understanding that if I'm not following the commandments that Jesus gave me, then what I'm doing is wrong. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, Paul said. But there is another power within me that is at war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then here it is, verse 25. Thank God. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, how many are you thankful for that today? That he is the answer. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So what I want to preach to you today, and it's the question that I want you to actually ask your neighbor this. I want you to look at them real quick for a moment. Look at your neighbor, get to know their eye color. Come on, we got to start the year off right. Get to know their eye color. Look at them. You need them to get to know your fellow church members. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, look at them in the eye. Know their eye color now. Look at it intently. And I want you to ask them this question with all seriousness. Ask them. Say, what is wrong with me? Now, it's a rhetorical question. I don't need you. Some of y'all are like, well, hold on a minute. You got your fingers out. You ready to go through the list. Now, look at your second best choice because, you know, you need to ask them too. Come on, look at them. Look at your second best choice. Get to know the eye color and say, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Somebody like, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. We're going to learn about this today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful. We pray, Lord, today as we start this new year that you would help transform us from the inside out. Let your word wash over our mind and over our heart. Allow us to be renewed and refreshed and restored as we begin this brand new year. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone shout a big amen. 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 Give someone a big hug on this new year. Give them a big hug before you take a seat. Have you ever had a moment, and maybe this is where you're at now, where you decided this is the year. This is the season. I'm gonna do it. I'm really gonna do this. I'm gonna make that change. I'm gonna do that thing. I'm gonna be devoted. And you went all in. You bought the clothes, all the workout clothes, because if you don't buy them, you won't do it. You downloaded the app. You made the plan. You got the vision board. You told everybody. You put it on social media. I'm going to start doing this year, whatever it is. You told everybody in your friend group, we're going to do this. You even tried to get some people together with you. And then a few weeks later, you quietly fell off the wagon. Not because you didn't care, not because that you didn't even try, but because something in you just couldn't sustain the change. You see, Inc. magazine did a poll a couple of years back of about 45 million people participated in this survey, and the survey said that they discovered that New Year's resolutions die by the second Friday of January. Most of them die by the second Friday. That means we got about 6 more days. I was even told this week that the Monday following that second Friday is called Blue Monday. Why? Because all your bills are about to come in from Christmas and all the spending that you just did on your credit card. But most of these New Year's resolutions, they end by the second Friday or by the third Friday. Why? Because we start with strong intentions, but by the end of the year, what's going to happen is we're still going to weigh more than we wanted to weigh. We're still going to have spent more than we made. And we're still going to be saying, I'm going to read the Bible daily, but don't. Which leads us to the quiet, nagging question that we ask ourselves, and that is, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? And what Paul is telling us in Romans is, he's saying, I know what's right. I want what's right, but I just can't seem to live it out. And the truth is, we've all been there. We've set the goals, we've made the vows, we bought the workout clothes, we got the planner, we built the vision board, we did all the things, and the problem isn't our intentions, the problem is our strategy. Because here's the thing that I want you to write down today. Real change isn't behavior modification, it's a spiritual transformation. I'm going to unpack this today because some of you are like, well, what does that even mean? You see, most Christians, we try to change the wrong way. We actually try to change most of the time how the world says, but most Christians, because we have some sense of who God is, and so we've been in church long enough, some of us have this idea, and what we end up doing is we end up living our life off of one of the two broken mindsets to try to change. And here's what they are. One of the broken mindsets we live off of many times is, it's all on me. This mindset simply says, well, God saved me, God, he forgave me, he gives me grace. I accepted him, and he did everything that he needed to do. And now that I am a Christian, and I have salvation, and I have grace, God has handed me the keys and says, now good luck, it's all on you. It's now all of your responsibility. Because God did his part, now I got to do my part, and it's just all on me. And this is where we just start saying things like, well, I'm trying to stop losing my temper. I'm trying to quit cussing. I'm trying to grow closer to God. I'm trying to stop scrolling for 4 hours a day on social. Translation is, God did his part, now it's just all on me. And the truth is, that mindset is exhausting. And that mindset is with error. The second broken mindset that we often live off of is, it's all on God. Because he is our provider, right? He is our peace. He is our joy. He's all those things, very true. But this is the opposite extreme of, it's all on me. This mindset removes us and our responsibility completely. This is where it says, well, I hate my job, so God's just going to provide me another one. All I got to do is just sit here. Well, I want to be closer to God. And so I'm just going to say, I want to be closer to him. And God's got to do his part. But I'm not going to read my Bible and I'm not going to go to church. I'm drowning in debt. And so, you know what? God is my provider. He's going to let me win the lottery. The truth is, this isn't faith. It's passivity disguised as spirituality. It's not faith at all. And the truth is, neither of these mindsets are what's going to allow you to have the proper stance or strategy to change. But there is one mindset, and it's the biblical mindset. And it's the way that Paul lived his life and what he is trying to get us to see and demonstrate to us in the very passage we just read in Romans chapter 7. He's not saying it's all on me. He's not saying it's all on God. But the biblical mindset that he is saying is that it is God through me. Somebody say that. God through me. In 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on to talk about in verse 9, chapter 15, verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles." Now this, again, this is the apostle Paul, y'all. He wrote like two-thirds of the New Testament. He planted more churches than any other person in the Bible. And Paul is the one saying, "I am the least of these apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church." Now, somebody's like, well, what does that mean? Well, here's the thing. Paul was formerly known as Saul. Saul was one of the, like a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. And what happened was he was persecuting the church because he thought that they were wrong. Those who claimed to be a follower of Jesus, he thought they were simply heretics, and he was persecuting them. He was killing them. And one day, God knocked him off his donkey while he was on a road to go persecute some more Christians. And he asked him the question, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he's like, "What are you talking about, God?" And he's like, "Every time you're killing one of those Christians, you're persecuting me." And God flipped the script on him, changed his name. And then Paul went on to revolutionize what we now read in most of the New Testament of what God did by spreading the gospel. And he says, the way that I persecuted God's church, but whatever I am now, he's like, whatever that is, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, here it is, but God who was working through me by his grace. Paul is saying, God's grace saved me. God's grace changed me, but I brought every bit of ounce of effort that I had, and it was never just me, but yet it was God working through me. It was his grace working through me. Somebody say, God through me. You see, real change isn't, well, God did his part, now it's all on me. Well, I accepted Christ now, now it's all on God. No, real change is God through me. And somebody needs to know that today, that the same grace that saved you is the same grace that will transform you. Well, okay, Pastor, then what does that actually look like? I'm glad you asked. Here's the key. If change is a spiritual transformation, here it is, revolutionary, best million-dollar thought you've ever had, then guess what? It has to be spiritual. If change is spiritual transformation, then it has to be spiritual. Not overpowered by willpower, but only empowered by the Spirit of God. Because here's what's going to happen. We have this New Year's that just rolled around, or new season is going to show up, or we're going to step into a new journey, and you're going to want to change something, and you're going to have your why. And maybe it's because you're tired of wearing your fat jeans and you're ready to get back in your skinny jeans. Whatever it is, and what you're going to have is you're going to have a plan, and you're going to jump on that diet that worked for your friend, or you're going to start that new exercise program because last year is running and you couldn't fulfill that, and now this year it's maybe CrossFit or hot yoga. Who does hot yoga? You're crazy. Whatever it is, but what I would suggest to you is that if you want to change something, then you're going to have to add a spiritual why to it. You've got to add a spiritual why to your goal. What do I mean? Well, if you want less screen time, you want to spend less time on your phone or on technology, it's not just to have less screen time to have less screen time. It's because my spiritual why that I got to add to it as well. Well, I want to honor God with my life. And by honoring God, I love people because God loves people. Then what that means is my spiritual why is that I'm going to stay engaged and present because God is love, and it's love that is present. It requires attention.
Now I've added my spiritual why. It's not just because, you know, I'm buzzing out on the phone and I'm using it to escape. It's, no, God wants me to be present and I want to honor God because God is love and love requires attention. It requires engagement. It requires presence. Some of you, you may be saying, well, I want to be better with my money this year. I want to get out of debt. Well, my why can't just be, well, I want to have more and I want to get out of debt. That can't just be your why because that's not going to leave you to change. You tried that and it didn't work. But you have to add your spiritual why. And my spiritual why is, well, all of it belongs to God. And he has called me to be a steward. Somebody say steward. That means I have to be responsible for managing it like God told me to manage it, and he's called me to be generous. So now it's not just I want more and I want to get out of debt. It's God, I want to be a better steward of what you've entrusted me with, and you've given me something, and if I want more, you've got to be able to trust me with what you've already given me. And so now I've added my spiritual why. Some of you may say, well, I want to get in better shape. I want to get healthier. I don't like the way I look at when I look at myself in the mirror, or I don't like what I'm eating. I feel yuck all the time, or whatever it is. And it can't just be, well, I'm going to do that so I can look good and look sexy and my wife won't be able to take her hands off me. Which all those are great reasons. It's all good reasons. But let me tell you, that's not going to allow you to keep your change. Not just so you can look good, not just so you can be sexy, not just so your wife can't keep her hands off of you or your husband can't keep his hands off of you, whatever it is, my spiritual why has to be, well, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the carrier of my purpose and my destiny. I can't just allow it to just go to waste. I need strength to be able to serve the purpose of God that he has placed on my life. And if Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, Luke 2:52 says, that means that I'm going to have to take care of my body, which is the temple. Now I've added my spiritual why. You see, your spiritual why is God's purpose for you, but your spiritual how is God's power through you. And some of you say, well, what is the spiritual how? We're going to learn that in a few weeks, but you've got to step into this because Zechariah 4:6 tells us, not by might and not by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. Well, what spiritual why applies to you? The question that I want you to ask yourself, are you trying to overcome addiction? Trying to break the chains off of your life? Are you trying to get organized and have better order in your life? Are you trying to grow closer to your spouse? Are you trying to be a more devoted husband or a devoted wife? Whatever it is, how do you do it? You have to add a spiritual why. And something that I have discovered is that if you change your behavior but don't change your heart, the behavior will come back. My grandfather used to say this all the time, and then my mother used to say it. I thought my mother was the one who always said it, but my dad told me, well, your grandfather actually started saying it, and now your mama used to say it. So, and this is what they used to say. They said, people change, but only a little. And the reason is that I've come to discover, and it kind of came to me even this week, because my whole life I've been like, people change, but only a little. Why? Because they're just trying to change their behavior most of the time. They don't allow God to change their heart. True change happens when you allow God to change your heart. Real and lasting change is a reflection of God's power through you. You're not changing? Well, there's a reason. You're not allowing God to change you. You're still stubborn. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're just still stubborn. You've been wanting to tell them that all year last year, and you just got your chance. But real change isn't just going to come from you changing your behavior. Well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do that. Yeah, great, great intentions. But that's not going to fix it because you're going to fall off. You're going to fail. You're going to make a mistake. You've got to add a spiritual why to it. Are you still working too much and neglecting your family? Are you still procrastinating and skipping church more than you actually are at church? Are you still clicking on sites that you shouldn't be clicking on? Are you holding grudges and having an attitude and having your RBF, your resting blessed face all the time? Are you wasting life and money on things that don't last? There can be a lot of reasons, a lot of things that we want to change, but the root of the problem is almost always a spiritual why. And we too often try to meet a need or relieve a hurt with something besides God's grace. This is why we reach for the bottle or we reach for the self-help book. This is why let's just listen to another podcast or just read another book or let me just go smoke a cigarette or smoke something else or snort something. We got to do something. We're just trying to relieve it and trying to create change, but none of that's going to create any change. Let me just set an alarm every day so I can read my Bible. Great intention, but that's not going to fix you. That's not going to change you. You only can be changed through the grace of God. 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on to talk about, referring to the words of God, he said, God said, my grace, this was to the apostle Paul, my grace is all you need. Paul's not saying, don't get the diet, don't buy the app, don't do any of those things. No, do those things, but don't forget that won't give you the reason to change. The willpower and strength won't change it, only grace. So here's what Paul says. He says, my God said, my grace is all you need. And this is what God said, my power works best in weakness. So Paul goes on to say, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work what? Not just to me, not just for me, but through me. Somebody say through me. God's grace has to work through you. So when you find that area that you can't change, then you got to stop being embarrassed about it, start embracing it, and realizing that the only way you're going to change is not through just through God's, not through your power or your might or your strength, but it is only God's power, God's grace working through you that will change you. And you got to remember, if you mess up, the same grace that saved you is the same grace that will change you. It's the same grace that forgives you, and it's the same grace that will strengthen you. Change is not just behavior modification. It's a spiritual transformation. Jesus came that we might be rescued. He came that we would be saved. He came so that way we could change and he could free us. That's who he is. But it's only going to happen by grace. Grace working through me. I've got to add a spiritual why. I wanted to extend a challenge to our church for the next 30 days. I know we're going to start a fast, and this kind of just may kickstart a little bit of this in some of your minds. I truly believe that a fast is not just, well, I'm not going to be on social media as much, or I'm going to read my Bible more. It's not just that. An actual biblical fast is pushing away from the table. That's actually a biblical thing. And some of you, I know you may have some medical things, you need to consult your doctor about it, all that. But there is a spiritual development that happens in your life when you push from the plate. Like literally, and allow that ghrelin that happens on the inside, that, you know, your stomach starts to hurt and it has those pings in there, and that's ghrelin. It's telling you something's not right. What happens is, not only has science tried to make this some new thing, well, it starts to help your body and all this. Oh, that's great. Cool. I think God obviously planned that to be, but what it does is it allows me to get more intimate in my relationship with Christ. Allows me to get closer to him, to be able to feel his heartbeat and hear his air that he breathes, to feel it. It allows intimacy to happen because I'm pushing away from what my flesh desires. And I'm saying, flesh, you have no power over me. I'm not going to eat just off of bread alone, but by the very word, Jesus said, I will live off of. But I want to extend a challenge. And I put one together, and here's what I want you to do. If you have your phone, I want you to take it out and I want you to tap the seat in front of you. You're going to see on there a New Year's challenge. It's about 12 different things. It's 11 technically, but there's 12 on there because one of them determines whether you're married or not married. But I want to extend this challenge to you because I want you to, if you want to do them all, that's great, but just maybe start with one or two. I'm going to do all of them. Why? Because I like to be an overachiever sometimes. Any overachievers in the room? Like, you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go all in. Am I the only one? Is anybody else? Come on. You're supposed to be proud about that. Raise your hand. You're the one who wrapped your gift, put the bow, and tied it in a ribbon. You know, you had all of it this past Christmas. But this challenge is to be extended to you. And I'm just going to read through some of them because I want you to see some of these things. Number one is I want you to attend church every week. Make it a new habit. You want God to have a relationship with you, then come to His house and worship with other believers and allow your faith to be built. We've got two gathering opportunities. I know it was foggy this morning. Congratulations, you were here. All the people that are not here, they're coming to the 11 a.m. because they didn't want to drive in the fog. But be at church every week. Attend every week. Get planted in the house of God. It is important. The Bible says, those who are planted will flourish, the Bible says. Number two, spend 30 minutes with God every day. 30 minutes. Find your time. If you've got to split it 15, 15, that's fine. I got four kids, so I get up early. And right now, I just started a devotion. We're reading the Bible in 6 months. Me and my 12-year-old son, we're doing it together. We are on the Bible app together, so we keep each other accountable. We're going to read the whole Bible through. And each day, we post something on our little thing that we're using about what the Lord said to us during that time of reading. Do something. Spend time in prayer, in worship, reading your Bible. Do any of these things. Give God your first and your best. Trust Him with your time. Don't just let it come while you get at the end of the night. Oh, I forgot to do that. Don't let that happen. Put God first in this time. Number three is tithe. If you're not a regular tither, if you're not trusting God with your finances and following and being obedient to what He said about being a steward, then honor God with your finances. Learn to trust Him. Matter of fact, I'll re-extend that 90-day challenge again. We had over 100 people do it last. How many remember the 90-day tithe challenge? We did it in the fall. Now, I didn't get one phone call. Not one phone call. But I've heard story after story after story after story. I've probably heard a dozen stories personally standing in that lobby of, man, when you started that challenge, God changed my life. Everything in my life started to open up. It was like everything began to be more present to me, and God showed me some things. God started to bless people. He started showing favor to people. God was showing them many things that they didn't see that God was wanting to do in their life. Just try. I'll extend it again today. Start it today. We'll put it back up on the app in the next day or so, and you can start your tithe challenge. 90 days. And here's the challenge, if you didn't hear me say it before, is try it for 90 days. If it doesn't work, I'll give it back. If your life is not better after 90 days, if God's not blessing your life and you ain't growing closer to God, I'll give it all back. I'll write you a check and give it all back. Fair? Why? Because I believe in God's word. And I know He's faithful and I know He's true. But you got to follow what it says to do. All right, that's number three. Number four. Exercise at least 4 times a week. Some of you are like, dang, he got me. Not 2, not 3, at least 4. Why? Because 4 creates change. 3 is maintenance, is what they'll tell you. But anything 4 or more will create change in your body. Change. If you're not active, start simple. 20 minutes walk every day, or for 4 days at least a week, will change your life. Just 20-minute walk. Go do something. Move your body. Exercise. Number four, operate within a budget. Somebody like, he cussing at me today. Have a budget. If you don't know what to do, we'll help you. Set boundaries. Stick to it. It will make a lasting impact and create freedom and margin in your life. Have a budget. You need to operate within a budget. I operate within a budget every time. I operate our church within a budget every time. Why? Because I want to be a good steward of what God has given me. And when He speaks, I can move. I'm not strapped by debt. I'm not strapped by I'm overspending more than what I make. I don't do that. I operate within a budget. The next one, go outside for 30 minutes a day. You need fresh air and sunlight. Get outside. Read your Bible outside. Go on a walk and turn it on Audible and let that be your, you can combine the two. That's fine. But get outside. Let the sun shine. Even if it's 35 degrees out, my kids, they're like, it's so cold. I'm like, you got jackets and sweatpants and a hoodie and a beanie. Get outside and don't come in till lunch. So I'm telling y'all, get outside for at least 30 minutes and don't come back in until lunch. Here's the next one. Y'all gonna hate me for this. No cheat meals. No dessert, no alcohol, no fried food, period. Period. Somebody say period. Build discipline from the inside out. Build it in. No cheat meals. Somebody say no cheat meals. Somebody like, man, this is like, you going crazy here, Pastor. Well, some of us need this. Next one, read 10 pages or listen to 10 to 15 minutes of a leadership podcast a day. Read a book, not just the Bible. You got your Bible time, that's different. Read a book. Go to listen to a podcast, 10 to 15, a leadership development one, one that's going to stretch you and it's going to grow you. And I want you to invest in yourself. Just 10 to 15 minutes a day can shift your whole mindset. It can change your life. Some of you have businesses inside of you that God has been stirring a gift and a dream, and some of you just need to take the action to be disciplined, and let's see what happens next year when you can come to me and say, when you told me to do that, I started that business, I went back to school, I started that job, I did. Come on, somebody. Anybody can believe with me that these things can happen by creating some discipline and leadership and growth. If you're married, any married people in the house, make some noise. I want you to plan 3 intentional date nights this month. Don't have to be expensive. Again, you can go to Costco and get the samples and get a hot dog at the end, baby. That's a membership only free. Come on now, buddy. Come on, somebody. You can have fun with it, okay? But 3 intentional date nights. Don't have to be expensive. Just be intentional about it. That will change your marriage. Number, if you're not married, any non-married people make some noise? Man, y'all sound depressed. Y'all like, it's another year and I ain't got my man, you know, like, come on, wait on your Boaz. He's coming, all right? You got to know the scripture to know that one. But anyway, if you're not married, here you go. Pursue complete purity. No porn, no sex, period. Y'all ain't saying amen to that one. Come on. Protect your heart and honor God with your body. Okay? Next one, make your coffee and lunch at home. Just try it. You know if this is for you, but I will tell you, small daily habits can make a big impact on your finances. Make your own coffee. You don't need to go to Starbucks. Matter of fact, don't be door dashing no $30 coffee to your work. That's like highway robbery right there. Make your own coffee. Make your lunch. Somebody like, well, we go out to lunch every day with my friends. Great, bring your own or eat before you go and eat the free chips at the Mexican restaurant. Come on, somebody. Be smart about it. Next one, sleep at least 7 to 8 hours a night. At least 7 to 8. Make it a priority. Set your bedtime. My phone goes off and a bedtime reminder, you need to go to sleep. So I try to do my best to honor to get at least 7 is my goal. At least 7. Sometimes it's only 5 because I got kids, but it is what it is. But try to get 7 to 8 hours a night. One of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself is rest. So set a bedtime alarm and stick to it. Rise with the sun. As it comes up, you be up. Watch it rise. It'll change your life. The reason why I'm saying all this is because I'm writing it down because I want you to put these on post-it notes. I want you to put these on screenshots on your phone, whatever it is. Why? Because Habakkuk 2 tells us, write the vision, make it plain. That way he may run who reads it. So every day when you see it, it's plain. It's right in front of you. It's in your sight, and now you can run towards it and have discipline in your life. But don't just do it to do it. You need to add spiritual wise to these. Okay? How many think you can do it? I want you to try it. Somebody say, just try it. But I want you to take some time this week, and I want you to pick at least 5 of them. At least 5. Can we do that? Come on, church. We're trying to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. We're trying to be better. We're trying to get some healthy discipline and healthy habits in our life. We don't want to stay the same. This is not the year to stay the same. This is the year to grow. This is the year to expand. It's the year to step forth into all that God has for us. I know that talking about these things, there's many of us that feel heavy just because you're like, man, I've tried to change. I want to change, but I don't know if that change is even possible. Well, I want to pray for those of us today that struggle with trying to change. I believe that God can do it. I believe that by the grace of God through you, it's not all on you, it's not all on God, but yet grace
is the thing that is the hinging point of God through me. His grace is sufficient for me. So I want to pray for you. If you are someone who, like, man, I got something I want to change in my life. It's a behavior, it's a habit, it's an addiction, it's just, you know, I want to create healthier habits in my life. I want to get better about this. Then if that's you, I want you to stand. If there's something in your life that you want to change, to get better at, or to stop doing, I want you to stand. Because I want to pray for you today. Somebody say, God through me. He can do it. God is able to do it. You just got to trust and add your spiritual why. And I promise you that if you will take the discipline, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It's easier said than done. I know. Every year, there's several things. I'm like, man, I want to do that. And I start towards it. And I fail. And I make mistakes. And I come back. And I'm like, man, it's been like 4 months. And I haven't done whatever it is. Or I'm back doing it again. I'm scrolling more. Or I'm whatever the case may be. And you know what? What do you do? I don't wait till New Year starts again. Well, in 6 months, I'm going to get it back together. Start today. So, well, I ain't set no New Year's resolution. I'm just going to be me. All right, well, then you keep living the same way you're living, and you want change. You want to get better. So, well, I haven't found my man yet. Well, maybe there's some changing you need to do and to find your man or find your woman. Amen? Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your church. You see every individual up here today that is standing, saying, I want to change. I want to get better. There's something I want to start, or there's something I want to stop. And God, I pray today by your grace, God, through us, Lord, as we add our spiritual why, that God, you would empower us by your Spirit to have transformation. God, we know that you are able. You are a God of the impossible. Just like you said in Genesis, you said that nothing is impossible for God. You can do things that the world cannot offer us. So God, I pray that you would give us drive and determination. You would give us self-discipline and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to not just stay the same that we've been, Lord, but to keep taking steps, not just to change for the sake of changing, but they are steps that are drawing us closer to you, emulating Jesus. You are our model. If you grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and favor with man, you said this in Luke 2:52, then God, help us to make the same self-discipline to grow, to not be the same. Be transformed by your word and by your Spirit. God, we love you. We praise you. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. Keep standing. And I want you to keep your eyes closed and heads bowed for a moment, because there are some of you that are here today that are talking about this change, this spiritual transformation. But in order for this to be done effectively, to change the things in your life that you know need to change, or maybe you don't know that they need to change, the only way that this is possible is by inviting Jesus to be Lord of your life. And if you're in this room today and you've never invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, you're starting this new year, and maybe you just said, you know what, I'm going to start going back to church. Well, then I want to tell you, you can rededicate your life today and say, I want to come back to Jesus and I'm going to make it right. And I'm going to start living for Christ. And it'll be Christ through me that the change begins to happen. That's this sanctification that the Bible talks about. An everyday step of an inward faith, stepping out in the outward. And if that's you today and you say, I want to know Jesus, I want to rededicate my life, I want to pray a prayer with you, Romans 10:9 tells us that if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and that Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, it says you shall be saved. So we're going to pray this prayer today. I want all of us to pray it in support of those that are praying it today and believing it in their heart. Let's say this out loud. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Help me to live a new life in you. God, I accept you as Lord and leader of my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. And today I ask that you'd wash me clean, forgive me of my sin, make me new. Today I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Help me to have change, but not just change, spiritual transformation. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said a big amen. Amen, 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 amen. One final thing I want to do is if you just pray that prayer, I want to give you a Bible. I want to help you with some next steps. And not only that, we'd love to celebrate with you to help you in this journey and following Jesus. You're not meant to do it alone. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I know we clapped just a little bit because our church knows that I'm about to do this and we've been waiting for this moment for you. And that is, if you prayed that prayer today, you believe in your heart, man, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, whether the first time or you rededicated your life today, would you do something? When I count to three, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, that was me. I prayed that prayer today. I'm taking a bold step, but I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do my best. We want to help you. We want to give you these tools. Our team is already moving around the room, ready to do it. Ready? One, two, three. If that was you today, come on, lift your hand and say, Pastor, that was me. Come on, church, let's celebrate all these people. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, lift it high. Our team is moving. They want to bring you a Bible, bring you these next steps to help you, tools that will help change your life. Amen. Come on, how many received the word today? How many ready to start this year off right and get fresh, get renewed? One final thing before I pray you out today is we got something brand new. Our year, a word for the year is what? One more. Somebody say one more. Out of the lobby, we have the one more wall. And here's what that wall is. On that wall is an opportunity for you. I want you to do this. This is going to be so powerful. The person you're praying for, I want you to pick someone that's in your heart and in your mind, and maybe even more than one, that you're praying to come to know Christ this year. Who is it? Family member, a friend? And I want you to write their name on the wall. Write it on the wall. Here's the thing that I want you to do. I want you to be praying for that person and start inviting that person to come to church with you. And when they raise their hand, like people just did a moment ago, to receive Jesus, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to walk them out, and you're going to walk them to that wall and say, I've been praying for you, and they're going to circle their name in red, and we're going to see red covering that wall by the blood of Jesus, saving people. Come on, anybody believe that with me? We're going to be praying with you. Let's not just be satisfied because we're here. Let's believe that God's going to save our friends and save our family and save our coworkers, the people we've been believing for and praying for. Come on. How many will believe that with me this year? Amen. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. We pray, Lord, you bless your people today. Help us, Lord, to go out and be the light of the world that you called us to be, to go out and make disciples of all nations. That doesn't happen just in here, but that happens outside these four walls. And help us, Lord, to be praying for the person that you want us to reach this year, or maybe many. We thank you for all that you're going to do in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful year. We'll see you.